You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The SAE World Congress is happening this week at Cobo Center in Detroit. Engineers and technical types in the aerospace, automotive, and commercial vehicle industries all looking ahead to the future of mobility. Their message is companies who hope to have a future in that world need a steady pipeline of talent. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here now to count the ways in which Michigan is a chronic underachiever in producing that talent that its auto companies must have to stay viable. Daniel, you're right that talent is the lifeblood of success in this new world of mobility.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about it. And you see car companies effectively changing the way they look and the way they act. Ford is spending billions of dollars to renovate its campus in Dearborn. It's making a play in Detroit Corktown to be cool for millennials. Mm-hmm. General Motors is doing a lot of the same kind of stuff. They're competing for talent. But yet here we sit in a state whose educational attainment is dropping like a stone.
Well, in fact, this week we had the NAEP testing showing Michigan kids are well below the national average in reading and math proficiency, and that students in Detroit are dead last in America's big cities in reading and math. And the problem with those scores, as you point out, it's all too easy for people to look at those, forget them, and think, not my problem. But they really are, because they're across the state.
And, you know, I got an email this morning from a reader who said, you know what? My kids went into engineering. I told them, because I was in the auto industry, don't go in the auto industry. And they all have pursued other engineering careers in other parts of the country, and that's just fine. And I thought, you know, guys like that are part of the problem. It's like, not my problem. My kids are gone. I don't see this getting on track. That's my real frustration here. Mm-hmm. The real change we've seen in this state and in Detroit in the last 10 years has been driven in part by financial crises. That you can't move people until there are no other options. And I think in education, because it's so decentralized around the state, in individual districts, and in some cases, individual schools, you're not going to see that kind of coalescing financial crisis that you've had in the bankruptcies of the two car companies and in the bankruptcy of Detroit.
And as you write today, Lansing does a much better job talking the talent game than actually delivering it. And case in point, the House Education Budget Committee this week chopped $25 million out of Governor Snyder's Marshall Plan for Talent, the very thing that's supposed to help close the talent gap.
Yeah, and I think the governor is right on this issue. I think he's just perhaps a little late to the game here. Politically, the reality is that we're going to drag feet for another 18 months, probably. Not much is going to change. But the thing that also I think is concerning is, if you look back in history in Michigan, I don't think there's been a two-term governor of one party who's been succeeded by his own party. So what we're likely to see here is a Democratic move in Lansing, whether it's the governor or the governor in the state house. And then what happens? Well, historically, what you see is the new people chuck out all the old stuff, and then they do their own thing. So there isn't a lot of political consensus in Lansing and across the state on how to approach certain things like roads, like education. It changes depending on with the wind and the partisanship in Lansing. And as a result, I think we waste an awful lot of time. And I think people who have looked at the education issues in Michigan will tell you, it's not that we're necessarily getting worse, it's that everybody else is getting better. And so, you can still run a mile in a certain amount of minutes, but if everybody else is getting faster, you're going to be farther behind, even if you're running at the same time.
You know what? One might argue if the Republican governor can't sell his talent program to the Republican legislature, what's wrong with giving the other team a shot at closing that talent gap?
Well, that's fine. But this governor, I think, and I've written this many times, is not feared by his own party. Mm-hmm. Unlike, say, a John Engler when he was governor. I mean, you know, he had the ability to get things that he wanted with his own party and was effective at doing it. Jennifer Granholm was not very effective at getting what she wanted from her Democratic House when they controlled it, much less the Republican Senate. And Governor Snyder has not had the best record necessarily. Now, he's had some big wins on certain financial things. But again, those were precipitating financial crises that gave him leverage. This is not something that he's got leverage on. He's talking about something that I think intellectually he understands, and I think he's right. He's right on talent. He's right on mobility. He's right on some economic development things. But those aren't crises. Those are slow moving, and you wake up one day and you realize we're at the back of the pack.
Well,
that's really a problem.
Having lost the Amazon second headquarter chance, that certainly was due to the talent gap. That could
be a
good marker.
That's exactly, and that's a very good example. Because when people from the outside come in and start to look at us critically and say, hey, you guys are a real comeback story, right? There's a lot of cool things going on here. And then they start to look at this stuff. This is not a secret, folks. This is out there. And you think nobody's going to notice? We live in a 24/7 wired world where you can find out things instantaneously. You can find out instantaneously what the President of the United States thinks about every day, about almost everything. You can't hide these other things.
Detroit News business columnist, Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.